Hey, this is Derek. I'm away from my phone right now, so leave your name and a number, and I'll call you back ASAP. Thanks.
Beep! Okay, I'm just going to come right out with it. Listen, I like you. It's not that I don't like you. I do, just in a different way. And don't get me wrong, I mean, I'm totally flattered about the things you said last night, and the flowers, and the theater, and the whole thing was really fun.
Think. Hi, I'm Dave, one of the hosts of the world famous TikTok radio shop, and so you can probably imagine my life is pretty hectic. Meetings and rehearsals and video shoots, not to mention my full-time day job delivering napkins to restaurants in Vancouver. The bottom line, I'm a very busy man these days of late, and finding any good quality me time is, well, it's almost impossible. Or anyway, it used to be. Now, thanks to the good people down at Kumbionics, it's getting a heck of a lot easier. It's a new product called Peace and Quiet. And let me tell you how it works. Wherever you are, whatever time of day it is, all you need to do is shut up and be still.
Anywhere, Dave? Come on.
Yes, Deb. Anywhere. You could be riding on the mats, or sitting at your desk, stuck in traffic, or even getting wasted down at the nest. You just shut up for a second and be still. Well, I mean, who doesn't want a little peace and quiet from time to time? Now, I could go on for an hour telling you all about how it works, and why the naysayers say it doesn't work. Instead, I'm just going to show you. Right here on the TikTok radio shop, new, from Kumbionics, here's a little peace and quiet. It's that easy.
Wait, Dave, how much does peace and quiet cost?
Excellent question, Linda. This, my friends, is the best part. You see, for an unlimited time, Kumbionics is making their patented award-winning peace and quiet available to the public for 6 easy payments of absolutely nothing. How's that sound?
Dave, it sounds amazing. How do I order it?
Well, you don't have to. You see, you've already got it. Right wherever you are, and exactly whenever you want. No number to call, no website, no dotted line, no fine print, and no strings attached. The Kumbionics Corporation simply wants you, our wonderful audience, to have a little peace and quiet on them.
But how can Kumbionics afford this?
They're a huge corporation, Linda. They can afford anything. So, once again, would you rather have this?
A little peace and quiet is not and never will be a registered trademark of the Kumbionics Corporation, wherein all transactions, great and small, would normally be void where prohibited. However, since no transaction will have been made at any time, and since no law of any kind, federal or state, prohibits the use and or enjoyment of peace and or quiet in any way, shape, and or form, a little peace and quiet is always available and completely free everywhere space and or sound may be found. Also, the Kumbionics Corporation is not responsible for loss and or damaged hearing.
From Brooklyn, New York, here is Alina Simone.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. The cover of a song by the punk folk singer Yanka Diaghileva. She's probably the most important woman in independent rock in the former Soviet Union. Sadly, she died in 1991 when she was only 24 years old. And her music was never released commercially during her lifetime. It just circulated as samizdat on cassette tapes from hand to hand. And this is one of her songs. It's called Na Chorny Dien, which translates to For a Rainy Day. Чорний день, не стали тани, з п'яних глаз дерев'яний. Второй упал, четвертый сел, восьмого вылина. На провода, из-под колес, да на трубок, из-под асфальтов тени. Вокруг лошади летят, вот за одной калейдоскоп, и мид пределы зеркалами колесо вращается быстрее, под звуки марша головы долой. Тяжелым сердцем лепит корку, волны явно и шары от столкновения расточились пополам по обе стороны, как по углам простора вешает. А за осколками витрин обрывки праздничных нарядов полозьями саней, живая плоть чужих раскладов, за прилавком попугай и шапки достает, билеты на трамвай до ближнего моста, на вертолет без окон и дверей, тихий омут буйной головой. I was born in Kharkov, which is now in the Ukraine, but when I was born there, it was still the Soviet Union. So I have a Soviet passport. I was a very small person, though. So my family came to the U.S. when I was only 1.5 years old, but I grew up in a Russian-speaking family, and my grandparents came over, and they spoke no English, or very little English, so I grew up mostly with them. So I learned Russian.
Most of your music... These days, are you just writing a lot of things that are Russian in nature, or is that primarily your music?
No, I just fell in love with this one punk singer, Yanka Diagareva, which the two songs I played.
Say it again, slower.
Yanka Diagareva, and she was really known just as Yanka, Y-A-N-K-A.
So if people wanted to, they could look up Y-A-N-K, maybe Google that, and it should...
Yeah, or Wikipedia or something, or go to my website, because I've got... some stuff on her. If you go to alinasimone.com/Yanka, I've got a lot of the lyrics to her songs translated and a biography of her and stuff like that. But I just recorded an album of covers, like a full band album covering her songs. She was a Soviet punk singer. She was born in Novosibirsk, which is the largest city in Siberia. And when she's about 19 years old, she dropped out of college and just got really into the punk scene in Siberia, in Novosibirsk. And the Siberian punk scene was actually really important in the Soviet era. The musicians from the big Western cities like Moscow and St. Petersburg really respected the Siberian punk musicians because they were seen as more raw and authentic and more political. And this is a time when this music was all underground and when, you know, the police, you know, would be like waiting at the end of shows to beat these people up. I mean, it was like that. I mean, they would just get arrested, harassed by the police, and had to live a very, you know, they were living on the fringes, basically on the fringes of society. And she became friends with the lead singer from a very seminal punk band called Гражданская оборона, which means civil defense in English. And she went to Omsk with him, a neighboring Siberian city. And basically the internal police wanted to commit him to an institution for political reasons because of his music. And he escaped and he left with her. He literally like broke out of the institution and they took off across the Soviet Union. And she was just sort of his muse and his backup singer and his companion, and eventually started writing her own songs. But she was, and then she started touring alone as Yanka. Eventually she sort of broke off from them and toured solo as Yanka. And she was just the only woman in the Soviet era who did this. So it's really a really inspiring, independent, DIY, like the real punk rock, you know, because there was no indie rock magazines or publicists or photo ops or anything. I mean, these people were just doing it because they had to, you know, for no money, living on pennies a day and sleeping, you know, on floors and in attics, and, you know, were very, very, very poor. And the sad thing is that in 1991, when she's only 24, she drowned, and most people think that it was a suicide and that she was very depressed. And so I think that the flip side of that lifestyle is that she just had very little support in her life. So, you know, when things weren't going well for her, she didn't have too many places to turn for help.
I have a question about that. So do you feel like then her lyrics, after translation or something, we should be hearing and reading and knowing? You still are keeping her alive. So she must have moved you a lot then.
Well, yeah, I mean, her music really moves me. The lyrics to her songs are really more like surrealist poetry. They're very dense and they're hard to understand even to native Russians. Some are more clear than others, but it's not like I don't know, it's not like reading a short story or something, you know. It's like very abstract. So it's more like the passion in her voice and the melodies and the occasional sort of Polaroid snapshot images that you get from phrases, but not like, oh, this song tells this story and I really, you know, relate to that story, because they're not exactly stories. But it's still all very moving and passionate and raw and exciting.
Is there anyone that you know about that's, I guess, would, I want to say, kind of comp, that maybe came out of that movement, that's still making music that's exciting to you?
In Russia today? No one who, like, sounds like her. Like, I wouldn't compare her to any of the current crop of, like, you know, Russian solo singers. But there's a band called Auktion, which just means auction. So if you kind of just say it with a Y.
Auktion.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, and
I speak a little bit of Russian.
They were friends of hers, and she recorded some songs in their rehearsal space, and they're still around, and they're my favorite band on earth. They're phenomenal. And they toured the U.S. I actually opened for them. I opened one of their shows in Philly. And
can they be found from your site as well?
Yeah, actually. Well, you know, they were before. I kind of shortened my top 8 to a top 4, and I think they're not in there. But if you just type in, like, I think it's Auktion or some, or like, there are different ways of transliterating it, and I can't honestly remember which way they do.
It's probably in your, like, my favorite music influences.
I think it is in my favorite. Yeah. So they're amazing. They're still around. They're still putting out albums. They're very different from Yanka, though. I mean, Yanka was just like, it was like direct to your heart. It was just like you know, a boombox, her, and a guitar. I mean, those are my favorite recordings. She does have some full band things that also sound quite live, but her most popular album, Prodana, is just like this. Like, exactly how I just like, you know, I mean, those are my versions of her songs, but this is a very similar spirit to what she would have done. Like, she played, like, in Russia they call them kvartirniki. It's like sort of apartment parties. Like, kvartira is an apartment, kvartirniki would be like apartmentees or something. Like, sort of the equivalent of loft parties or house parties, but most people didn't have houses in the Soviet Union, they had apartments. So she would just do that a lot. Like, she played very few official public venues in her life.
Do you write your own music, though?
Oh, I do. I can play one of my own songs.
Awesome.
One of stinky songs, too, but...
It's Alina Simone.
Alina,
yeah.
Simone.
Okay.
Should I play one of my own?
Sure.
Please.
Sand, the smell of diesel on the back of my hand. The map is fading, the photographs blow out in a string of flares. Strap a match, burn through the seasons, we'll all go down with the sun-drenched heathens, dancing as the coastline slowly fades. I want
back to the TikTok Radio Shop. This is a social experiment on human verbal repetition.
Number one, TV, UHF.
Joey.
Afterlife.
Green Eggs and Ham.
Catcher in the Rye.
Tomcat.
Static.
Great Gatsby.
Entourage.
Contact.
Spider.
Old Time.
Stax.
Internet, Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, The Matrix.
Primitive Radio Gods.
Fake.
Sesame Street.
Joey.
Bus.
Master.
Luke Delahaye.
Memories.
Internet.
Jambo Land.
Joey's getting a lot. Pages, words, type, authors, reading.
Tom Cruise.
Spoken.
White Noise.
Howard Stern.
Okay.
Pictures.
Marilyn Monroe.
The Sea.
Box.
Chapters.
Cement.
Hookers, Pantages, Kodak.
Salinger.
The Matrix.
James Dean.
Marilyn Monroe.
Head.
Bedazzle.
WWW.
Wasteful.
Talk show.
Lucy.
Star.
Memories glossy.
Eating away my life.
Stories, gossip, tales.
Tetris.
Charlotte's.
Antiquariate.
Words.
Expensive.
Blah.
Tom Cruise.
Information.
Kill!
Cuba Gooding Jr.
Eating away my life.
Caught, taken.
Flash.
Motherboard.
Cranberry.
Spider-Man.
Everybody Loves Raymond.
Fast.
Camera.
Spiders in my ass.
Worldwide.
Charlotte Al Gore.
TV on the radio.
Plastic window.
Search engine.
Brady Bunch.
Die.
Boredom. TikTok.
Artificial.
Salinger.
Tap tap.
Old Time.
Once again, please welcome Alina Simone.
Okay, so these are old. I'll try not to mess them up. But they're dedicated to my friends Ashley and Jeremy. This is called I'm Being Complicated. See. complicated.
Loved? That's something that was personal to you?
It was personal to me. Mm-hmm. And that it's a story of, it's, well, we all know people. We all are people or know people like that. Right?
Yes.
I've heard about people like that.
Yeah. I've seen people like that on TV.
Right.
He's told me about people. So we're all...
People are so effed up, I'm telling you. It's just,
oh,
that's
yeah.
What
so
happens.
I have a question. You're a big McCain supporter.
Yeah, how'd you know?
Just a big guess. I just kind
of
saw
you
him.
Do remind
no.
me of the Palin, Sarah Palin.
Oh, that's what she... Loves.
I don't. I mean, I don't really know.
No, she's hot.
You're not
I mean,
she
I don't.
Is
thank
hot.
You.
She
thanks for the comparison.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Do you? But you are a politically minded person. You have opinions. Would you care to elaborate on that? Is that okay to ask?
Well, I wrote an essay for this blog called Large Hearted Boy on the topic. Largeheartedboy.com on the topic why Obama. He gets indie rockers to like write essays about why Obama, and he started this series maybe like a month ago, and he's gotten like the guy from Gang of Four and someone from Deerhoof and just like, you know, lots of really cool, you know, band people to explain, you know, why they're for Obama. So
Obama?
That gives you a clue about my leanings.
What does? But why Obama?
Can I tell you a really funny story?
Please.
Because I could talk about Obama, but, I mean, like, who here is not for Obama? I mean, this is, like, total preaching to the choir. Like, who listening to this is not for Obama?
Now I'm scared.
Except for Jeremy. I mean, except for Jeremy. You can't convert, you know, every diehard, you know, Republican, hardcore conservative. So just we let that one go. And
Jeremy, we don't appreciate you putting Bush's face up everywhere.
I'm still voting for Nader.
Yeah, there's a
Nader.
But I'll tell you a funny political story because it's just a lot funnier than why Obama. I mean, it's not, you know, political science class. So what happened was about a month and a half ago, I put up a little thing on my MySpace that said, I've recorded an album of raw demo versions of all the songs on my Yanka Diaghileva cover album, the Russian album that was just released. I sat at home and I just did a solo version of it with like five or six extra songs. And I said, you know, I've got this thing and I made all the artwork myself and it's all very handmade. And if you want to order one, if you can't come to a tour date, you can mail order one, you know. And it was just one line on MySpace. And I got like, you know, a bunch of people from like Finland and like weird places. Maybe like that first week, five or six people wrote to me. And one of them's name was Howard Wolfson, which like rang a bell. It sounded super familiar. And so I just felt like it was a political person. Like it was during the primary season. I was like, this just sounds like a political someone. And so I Google searched the name and Hillary Clinton had a communications director who was then promoted to be her chief strategist in charge of her whole campaign named Howard Wolfson. And I just was like, well, clearly it can't be that guy. So it's just some poor guy who's like, constantly getting confused with this fancy guy running Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign. And I like thought nothing else of it. I was like, oh, that's where I know the name. Okay, some guy named Howard Wilson. And then his check came, and the check had the White House on it and was from that, an official. And, like, he's like, this is my address. It's in Washington, D.C. And like, here's your check for $15. And it had a picture of the White House, and it was like issued by the U.S. government. I mean, it was a special check. And then I was like... And I was heading out the door with Josh, and I was like, honey, like, I know this is going to sound really crazy. Like, I hadn't told him anything, and I told him. I was like, I got this email from this guy, Howard Wolfson, and then I Google searched, and, you know, he sounded really familiar. It turns out he's in charge of Hillary Clinton's campaign, and this was during the primary. Like, no, maybe it was, like, right after. Like, maybe it was just after she had, like... you know, decided to bow out. And I was like, this is really weird. And this check has the White House. And could it be the same guy? And he was like, I don't know. And like, we just sat there trying to Google search like everything on the check, you know, like the address, trying to figure out. And then
you
finally.
Google search the White House, y'all?
No, well, we were like, well, maybe it's a co-
coincidence, maybe happens to be that, you know, also live in D.C. and work for the government. And then finally, Josh was like, you have to email him and ask him. And I was like, oh, that's so embarrassing. Like, what if it's not him? And, what if he wants his privacy, just wants to order this weird little CD? But finally, like, my curiosity overcame my good sense. And I wrote to him, I was like, I got your check. Like, thank you very much. By the way, I hope you don't mind my asking this, but are you, like, that Howard Wilson? I felt like such a dork. And then he wrote back and was like, yes, I am. Hope you're a Hillary fan. And then I was like, wow, that's so cool and weird that this fancy political man, who is now a commentator on Fox News, he's the Democrat. So wait, it gets better. So then the large-hearted boy asked me to write this essay on the topic, why Obama? And this was in part prompted by the Howard Wolfson thing we, like, communicated by. And for some reason, he's like, oh, the Hillary Clinton guy likes you. Will you write about Obama? And I was like, yeah, sure. I'll do that. I voted for him in the North Carolina primary. Like, I was, you know, on his team. So I wrote this essay. And then he put it up on the web. And within 2 hours, I had an email from Howard Wolfson. And the subject line was, because I said I voted for Obama in the primary, and the subject line was, like a dagger in my heart. Oh! Oh, I know, man. but then inside he said, congratulations on the Pitchfork review. So he's just some kind of bizarre indie rock nerd who, like, reads Large Hearted Boy and Pitchfork and while commenting on Fox News and buying bizarre, obscure Russian Soviet punk cover CDs from small musicians.
That's hilarious.
Isn't that a weird story?
Yes. Great story.
I don't know if it deserves any
applause. No, I had one quick story. This was, I felt it noteworthy. On September 3rd in Spokane, Washington, at the Cattails Zoological Park, Kimber, an 18-year-old liger, died.
A liger.
Now, by some sound out of your mouth, it doesn't need to be a word. How many have ever heard of a real liger existing? Thank you for that. Exactly. That's where most people have only heard of ligers. But it turns out not.